Okay, before we read 55, Isaiah 55 in God's Word, let's go to the Lord in prayer real quick. Gracious and merciful God, as we begin to read your Word, be with us. Help us to use these words that are found in Holy Scripture to the nourishment of our souls and our spirits. Be with us as we share this message this morning found in 55. Let it be beneficial to us as followers of yours in this world that we live in. Help us to share the word with those who do not know it as we do, and help us to share it with each other to give each other strength and encouragement in the days to come. We ask all these blessings now in your name. Amen. So we're going to read from Isaiah 55. We're going to read the entire passage. And so this is the invitation to the Lord's salvation. And I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation, so if you're reading along with me, it may sound a little different. But here it goes. The very first verse, listen to these words. Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink, even if you have no money. Come, take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. See how I used him to display my power among the peoples. I made him a leader among the nations. You also will command nations you do not know, and peoples unknown to you will come running to obey, because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could ever imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. I will accomplish all I want it to do, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. You will live in joy and peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song, and the trees of the fields will clap their hands. Where once there were thorns, cypress trees will grow. Where needles grew, myrtles will sprout up. These events will bring great honor to the Lord's name. They will be an everlasting sign of his power and his love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this morning's message is centered around Isaiah 55, the entire chapter. I spent a little bit over a week putting this together, and the more I read it, the more I enjoyed it, and the more I thought about my grandfather, my mother's father. I didn't know my dad's dad too much. I remember him as a young man, but I remember my mom's dad the most. I worked with him as a young man all the way through my teenage years, all the way until I graduated high school, actually, on the farm. So I had a great relationship with my grandfather. And this morning, you're going to receive some advice from Isaiah. And you're going to receive some advice from my grandfather. And what I want to share with you is this. I would be remiss if I told you these stories about my granddad and not tell you that he had a third grade education. He couldn't read or write. I didn't know that until I was a senior in high school. And so the advice that you will hear from him is simple. But boy, is it powerful. And how it connects directly with Isaiah 55 is almost too amazing to explain. In fact, I penciled in my Bible, I highlighted some verses I'm going to come back to this morning, but in my Bible I wrote in pencil over 55, Granddaddy's verse and chapter. So again, good morning and welcome back to the Lord's Day here at Bethel. It is certainly good to be with you again. I missed you last week, but it was nice to take a quick break. And so again, it's a pleasure to be present with you this morning. This morning we read a very powerful scripture out of Isaiah. And again, it is the invitation to the Lord's salvation. The passage begins with the words, "If anyone is thirsty, come and drink, even if you have no money." This means if you desire salvation, take all you wish. Consume all that you take, because it's free. It's your gift, and it's for your taking. It's for your pleasure. As human beings, there are many things we need to sustain our lives. We talked about it in our children's message. And in Scripture this morning, Isaiah shares with us in the passage that God and God alone can satisfy our souls, our hunger, and our thirst. But He and He alone is the only person that can do that, not ourselves. In this passage, we are also instructed to quit seeking fulfillment in all the things that cannot satisfy us. In the children's scripture today, in the young men's scripture today, it basically says, "Do not purchase food that will not nourish you." Scripture says, and I quote, "Don't spend the money on the food that cannot give you strength." I'm not sure what the average age is in the audience this morning, but what I am sure of is that we spend a lot of time chasing after food that does not give us strength. It does us no good. By food, I mean materialistic possessions, wealth, life's obsessions, and a whole other host of things that are way too numerous to mention this morning. That's what Isaiah is speaking about when he talks about food. My grandfather used to sit underneath a pear tree in the summer months adjacent to his garden that was 100 feet by 150 feet. I tell you that because we worked it with him. There were days I think we walked in there and we never left until sunset. But again, sitting under that pear tree one summer day, he told a short story about a dog chasing his tail. Of course, being kids that we were at the time, we asked, "Why did the dog chase his tail, Granddaddy?" And he simply said, "When you see a dog wagging its tail, that's a sign that the dog is happy and content," which we all know to be absolutely true. I can only assume that the reason, Granddaddy said, that the dog chases his tail is in an effort to catch the sense of happiness and contentment that it brings him. And then he went on to say, "Boys, don't spend your life chasing your tail. What you're looking for in your life is found right here," as he tapped his chest. "It's found inside of your heart and your soul." And then he goes on to tell us that, "Look around you," he said. "The family and the unity of togetherness and love that comes in your relationships, that's what brings you happiness and contentment. And those things we know in Isaiah come from God." The moral of the pear tree story is this, that those things that we seek begin inside ourselves. Our scripture lesson piggybacks, or perhaps Granddaddy's pear tree lesson piggybacks, Isaiah better said, that God is the only real nourishment for our souls. God Himself. And when we commit to that, when we understand that, and when we accept that, then contentment and happiness and glory come our way. There's a second passage in Scripture this morning that we read that I also want to mention. It says, "Seek the Lord while you can find Him. Call on Him while He is near." This is a profound statement in this passage in Isaiah. One you need to heed. I call your attention, if you go back and study this passage, you'll find this request of Isaiah in the middle of 55. Before he tells you all the glory that comes after seeking God. He tells you in Isaiah, first and foremost, seek the Lord when He is near. Simply put, we need to seek God while we have the opportunity. Let me say that again. We need to seek Him today while we all have the opportunity this morning. God is and has always been available to you and me. Always. However, if there is anyone in this relationship between you and God and me and God that's on borrowed time, it's you and me. It isn't God. And He's waiting on you. Not only is He waiting on you to have a relationship with Him, if you already have a relationship with Him, praise God. But if you need to strengthen that relationship, He's still standing there. Because remember, you and I are on borrowed time. And that's exactly what Isaiah is instructing us this morning. God desperately desires a better relationship than the one that we believe we have with Him today. When we seek Him, this is where true spiritual renewal and nourishment begin internally. As my grandfather said as he tapped his chest, if you want the joy of His presence, God's presence in your life, you have to ask for it. And many days that have come already, and many days that will come from here on out, you will continually have to ask for Him to be present in your life. Because when we begin to neglect to seek God, we miss out on His presence. It's kind of like I told the kids, hey, look, if you forget God and go buy the new car, it's going to be flashy, it's going to be cool, it's going to be a little faster. It's going to get you there faster. It's going to ride a little smoother. But your co-pilot is gone. He's absent. And you've missed the boat. You've lost the message. If we miss out in God's presence in our lives, we miss out on the blessing that comes with His presence in our lives. There's some additional advice in Isaiah this morning that actually comes to us in a simplistic manner from the pear tree of my grandfather's. Growing up on the farm, we learned to drive from birth. I don't ever remember not driving a vehicle. I truly don't. But when we finally, legally, were able to drive, some 16 years later, we became runners and errand boys. As we were dispatched to the co-op, and more frequently dispatched to Brubeck Hardware in Middlebrook, or a parts store, or just into town for whatever, Granddaddy would often say, "Take your time, fellas, but hurry up every chance you get." But the all-time line as a farm kid was, "Come on now, we're burning daylight." This meant we were finishing this before the sun set. This is exactly what Isaiah is saying in Scripture this morning. Seek the Lord while you can find Him. Because you are, and I am, burning daylight. We don't know what the next minutes hold in our lives. Seek the Lord while you can find Him. So in our efforts to seek God, I want to begin to kind of put all this together. These pear tree chronicles, as I like to call them, in the scripture out of Isaiah this morning. This message that we listened to and read this morning also has some additional advice. Scripture told us this morning to come to God with our eyes wide open. Now you'll notice that it told us to seek Him immediately and to come to Him with our eyes wide open. These are powerful directions. Listen and you shall find life, is what Scripture said. If you come to me with your eyes wide open and listen, you shall find life. It did not say you may find life. It did not say you can find life. It said you shall find life. And that life that it defines in Scripture this morning is now and eternal. God says in verse 3, I will make an everlasting covenant with you. If you're looking for a promise anywhere in Scripture, right here it is in Isaiah. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. If you come to me with your eyes wide open, you shall find life. What a powerful message. What is important to note here is you must be seeking the right food. You notice in Isaiah, he talks about the food, the things that you seek to make you strong and nourish you. And then he goes and tells you that's the relationship that you ask for in the middle. I have to give you another grandfather story about choices, because the choice to seek this is yours. Granddaddy said that there were two dogs in a man's kennel of life. Again, simplistic advice. There are two dogs in a man's kennel of life. Both important, but completely different. Both teaching you something, but totally different. Most of the time, these dogs were contentious with each other. The first dog and the loudest of the two is really no good. He is handsome and healthy on the outside. He looks beautiful, but he's bad on the inside. He represents anger, greed, resentment, selfishness, lies, and pride. The other dog, well, he's a little different. He too is powerful. He's quite pretty. He's handsome, but he's not as flashy. And he's certainly not as loud. He's much quieter, for sure. Maybe a little smaller in stature. And if someone approached the kennel of life, they really probably wouldn't seem, because the other dog is at the gate doing all the barking, trying to present himself as the best of the best. So as you approach them, you won't see them, this second dog, right off, as Granddaddy would say. He would tell you that this dog is reserved. This dog is good. He represents joy and peace, love, hope, humility, truth, and devout faith. Granddaddy would also tell you that if he were standing here this morning, that devout faith is what keeps him humble, what keeps him quiet, and what gives him strength. Obviously, as young boys, we asked Granddaddy what contentious meant. Well, my grandfather, who had no high school formal education of any sort, knew exactly what contentious meant. And he said, well, son, that means they fight a lot. Naturally, we said, well, which one of those dogs win? Granddaddy? And Granddaddy said, with divine wisdom, the dog that wins is the one that you feed the most. The one that you feed the most. Granddaddy taught us a very valuable life lesson that day, and Isaiah is saying the same thing here. We each choose for ourselves whether we will nurture our good or our bad inclinations. That's our choice. We make those choices every day. This ability to choose is among our greatest gift as Christians. In fact, it's called free will. But within this gift comes the obligation to take responsibility for our choices and live with those choices, because each one of those have consequences. Consequences are sometimes not immediate, but they are certain. They are as certain as the advantage of the healthy dog over the starving dog that you've been feeding. And when they fight, the healthy one's naturally going to win because he is stronger, because you have been given him the nourishment. I thought that was funny when I put all this together, thinking about my grandfather and consequences for actions. You see, as young boys, it was a long walk through that kitchen when our grandmother hadn't prepared a meal. We weren't being invited to the table to sit down and eat. We were being invited, because of our actions, to the top of the basement steps, where just inside the door hung a razor strap. And we certainly felt that because of our consequences. So what I tell you today is our consequences are not immediate, but they are absolutely certain based on the choices we make. On the other hand, we need to talk about, for a second, choosing the right choice. The consequences of those actions are as drastic, but polar opposite. When we choose the right choice, when we feed the right feeling inside of our spirit and our soul that is Christ-like, that brings us, as I said in the young men's message this morning, nourishment. And that nourishment comes from God. And that nourishment is love and forgiveness. And love and forgiveness in and of themselves brings hope, even in hopeless circumstances. When we love each other and we forgive each other, we are in connection with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And therein lies hope, even in the most hopeless of times. In Scripture, Isaiah closes with these words. The entire chapter 55 closes with these words. These events will bring great honor to the Lord's name. They will be everlasting signs of His power and love. If you remember, as we read, these events speak directly to your and my choice. And what choice we make. If we make the right ones, Scripture tells us that it brings great honor to the Lord's name. And you and I will share in everlasting peace and joy, whereby there is hope. So back to my grandfather for a second. This life that we live in is tumultuous. It's good most of the time, but there are times that it's not. And we would be lying to ourselves if we said it was. Even as Christians, even as followers of Jesus, we struggle daily. And so, each of you, each of us, have two dogs in the kennel of life. The good one and the bad one. The question for you this morning is, which one of them are you feeding? Which one of them did you feed this morning when you got up and looked in the mirror? Which one of them did you feed last night when you didn't tell someone that you should have that you loved them? Which one did you feed last week when you got in a disagreement with a loved one or a colleague? Or you were in the Walmart checkout line frustrated? Which one did you feed? That's the question you got to ask yourself. Not which one you feed this morning. I know who you're feeding this morning. I'm trying to feed it to you. I'm asking you, who do you feed when you're by yourself? Which one do you feed when no one's looking? That's the question that we have to ask ourselves. You see, both of these dogs exist. They exist in each of our kennels of life. And I want to close with this statement. One of these dogs is short-lived, and one of these dogs is eternal. One of these interfeelings will take you to heaven's gate, and the other will prevent you from getting there. Your kennel, your dogs. Feed them as you wish. That's free will. But it's your choice. Remember the consequence. Amen.